Today on The Journey.
Fathers, I want you to think about this. Your life is about over. You're surrounded by your children. What's going to be your final words, final message to those gathered around you?
Fathers, what will your children remember most about you? Your successes, your failures, your tries? Or will it be something else entirely? Something you didn't realize you'd left behind? Today, Ron Moore, a father himself, talks about the threads that weave a strong and lasting legacy. First, a brief word about Ron's devotional book titled Journey Through the Psalms. If you've ever wondered about the meaning behind the Bible's collection of inspired songs, you need this uplifting publication. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and it's available at ronmoore.org. I'll have details after Ron shares today's message, Fathers Sown with Strength, on The Journey.
Well, this morning, we conclude a series that we started a few weeks ago called Threads, A Community of Connection. Our purpose in this series has been pretty straightforward. We just want to introduce the congregation to each other. We come from all kinds of different backgrounds and stages of life, and we just wanted to introduce ourselves to each other. Romans chapter 12 says this, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." And then later, Paul writes to the Corinthians, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. One part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We started this series with mothers. On Mother's Day, we honored those who are mothers or those who would love to be mothers. We then honored our college students as they came back home, and this summer kicked off a college ministry that we've had about 60 to 70 different college students participate in from 24 to 5 different campuses around the country. We honored those who've been married for 40 or more years and just honored their faithfulness to each other. And that Sunday, we brought up a couple guys who served in World War II. They left high school. Right in the middle of their senior years, they left high school to go fight for us and protect us so that we could be here today. We honored our children, our future. We honored our teens, and particularly our graduating seniors. We honored our singles, and we heard from some who were at different stages of being single. This morning, we want to honor our fathers. And fathers, I want you to think about this. Fast forward. Your life's about over. You're surrounded by your children. And you're getting ready to leave this life and pass to life eternal. God's graciously given you some time to express some final words. You're going to need to be to the point, and this is not time for tangents. What's going to be your final words, final message to those gathered around you? What are you going to tell your son as he or they look down upon you? What's it mean to be a man? What kind of father do you want them to be? Again, it's not time for memories now. Those are gone. You've already done that. These are the last words, the last message. What are you going to tell your daughters as they look upon you? What kind of man do you want them to marry and commit their lives to? These are your daughters. Give me the content of that message. What will you tell your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law who are partnering with your children to raise your grandchildren? And if God would be so gracious, what words would you give your grandsons and granddaughters in that last moment? Final words. What would be the content of your message? Today I want us to consider the last words of a father who knew that death was imminent to his son. Final weighty words from David to Solomon. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. Let me read through this charge of David to his son, and then let's just go through the passage. There are four things we want to draw out of this passage this morning for fathers. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, "When the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon his son." Verse 2. "I'm about to go the way of all the earth," he said. Notice his statement. This is what happens to every person who is born. They die. "I'm about to go the way of all the earth. So be strong. Show yourself a man. And observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in His ways and keep His decrees and commands, His laws and requirements, as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. And that the Lord may keep His promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. I believe in this last charge, there are four things, fathers, that we need to be reminded of. Here's the first one. David says, look at verse 2, be strong. Now, that word has absolutely nothing to do with physical attributes. It has everything to do with inner fortitude. You can be a huge person and have a shriveled heart. You can do things to impress the entire world and embarrass God. The strength that David is challenging his son to is an inner strength. It is an inner courage. It is a confidence in the right things. It is a conviction. It's knowing what you believe and never backing down on it. It's knowing what you are living for and living for it with all the passion in your life that you have. It's knowing what you would die for and standing to that last minute of your life and giving your life for this conviction that you will never back away for. That is biblical strength. No compromise. So David is saying, be strong. Be a man of conviction. There's no better example of conviction in the Bible than that verse we looked at a few weeks ago when we were honoring our teenagers. Remember Daniel chapter 3, three Hebrew teenagers were charged to bow down before a pagan god, and they said, there's absolutely no way will we do that. And here's what they said to the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves to you in this matter. Actually, we don't even have to think about it twice. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us, and He will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if He doesn't, even if He in His sovereign will chooses not to do that, we want you to know, O king, we will not serve your gods. We will not worship the image you have set up. Now that is conviction. Most of us will live our entire lives and never have to make a decision like that. We'll never have to determine whether or not to bow before a foreign god at the threat of death. But fathers, don't miss the deeper application. Every day, we live with the temptation to bow before the gods of our culture. We're tempted to bow before sexual temptation. The promise on one hand of quick satisfaction, and on the other hand of blowing up your family. We are tempted to bow before the god of career in order to provide for our family all the things they need, except the things they really need. We're tempted to bow before the god of compromise. You said, go along to get along life and lose our integrity along the way. And we are tempted to bow before the god of materialism, the promise of happiness in the acquisition of things. Let's face it, man, compared to the rest of the world, we are extremely wealthy. And one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account. And right behind us is going to be someone who lived on about $2 a day. And we're going to give an account of how we spent our money. William Wilberforce, who led the charge against slavery in Great Britain and almost single-handedly stopped it, said this, prosperity hardens the heart. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. A man named Robert Murray McShaney was a Scottish pastor, and he died when he was only 29 years old. And yet, in those years, such an impact on the church. Today, his writing still impacts, and just as powerful and relevant today as it was during his life when he lived 1813 to 1843. Listen to what he says. He says, I'm concerned for the poor, but more for you. I know not what Christ will say to you in the great day. I fear there are many hearing me who may know well that they are not Christians because they do not love to give. to give largely and liberally, not grudgingly at all, requires a new heart. An old heart would rather part with its lifeblood than its money. Oh, my friends, enjoy your money. Make the most of it. Give none of it away. Enjoy it quickly, for I can tell you, you will be beggars throughout eternity. Fathers, God has called us to be strong, to be men of conviction, and that includes every area of our life. And you got to choose. We got to choose what we'll bow before and what we will not bow before. And we got to make sure at the end of the day there was only one who we would bow before, and that was the eternal God. Here's a second challenge. Look at verse 2. So be strong. And then what's David say? Show yourself a man. Show yourself to be a man. Paul gives the same challenge in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 when he says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love. We live in a day where fathers need to be fathers and men need to be men. God created them male and female. There is a gender distinction. And men and women are different, aren't they? In many ways, each having a critical role to play. Here's an example. A few years ago, I was here on a Saturday morning, and the women were doing a spring luncheon. And I was leaving the building. I was a little hungry, so I walked over to the table to see what they were serving that day. Here was the menu. Albacore tuna salad on mountain herb, homemade chicken salad on challah, veggie with hummus and provolone on wheat. And all of a sudden, I wasn't even hungry anymore. Now, compare that menu with this email following the men's retreat this spring. Way to go, food dude. The hot dog with fried cheese and salami topped with sauerkraut and Scorn Women hot sauce was a winner for the Saturday night snack. That was just a Saturday night snack. Now that makes you hungry, doesn't it? But being a man is more than just eating a hot dog with fried egg and salami, isn't it? David says to Solomon, show yourself to be a man. Be a leader. I challenge the mothers on Mother's Day to allow their husbands to lead, to be the spiritual leaders of their home. Now, men, you got to step up and do it lovingly, appropriately, biblically. You have to lead your home. You know the saying, nature abhors a vacuum. If something is not there, someone's going to step in and do it. And if someone besides you steps in and do it, it is not the biblical injunctive. And you're going to stand before God, and he's going to ask you, why? Where were you? That's what he asked Adam. In Genesis chapter 3, after Eve had taken the fruit, he asks in Genesis 3:9, Adam, where are you? He knew where Adam was physically. No man can hide from God. But he's asking, where are you? He's demanding an explanation. He's reminding the man that he should have been there. In essence, he's asking, Adam, where were you? Adam, where were you? You failed to provide leadership in the most basic area of all, your home. Adam, where were you? Satan invaded your home and you were nowhere to be found. Were you asleep? Why didn't you step in between Satan and your wife? Adam, where were you? I told you about the tree. I gave you the information. I gave you the instruction. You were supposed to communicate that effectively. Why didn't you do it? Adam, where's your influence in your family? Adam, where were you? When Eve approached the snake, were you aloof? Were you distant? Were you absorbed in your work? Where were you in her great time of need? Amazingly, God holds Adam responsible. Why? Because in God's economy, in his establishment, the man is the leader. So if there's a problem with an organization, who do you go to? You go to the leader, and God goes to Adam. Where were you? And in the rest of Scripture, when sin is addressed, it's always Adam's sin. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man. 1 Corinthians 15, as in who? Not Eve. As in Adam, all die. Now, men, I don't know about you, but that is humbling and sobering to me, the implications of that. Men are to be the head of their families. And when we fall short, the family suffers. Lack of men being spiritual leaders in our home has brought trouble in our country. And most importantly, weakness in the church at large. Fathers, show yourself to be a man. Step up and lead. I'm not talking about being a tyrant. I'm talking about an Ephesians 5 sacrificial servant leadership. Number 3, obey God. David charges his son. Look at verse 3. And observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways, keep his decrees and commands, his laws and requirements as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. We believe in teaching. We believe in teaching the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We encourage you to bring your Bible, and our sermons are going to be based in Scripture. When you go to an adult Bible fellowship, it's going to be based in Scripture. When you go to a small group, it's going to be based in Scripture. We have nothing to say unless it comes from the Word of God. And we're going to teach it. And at the same time, I got to tell you, there are some who don't need any more information. They need a lot more application. If we would just begin to apply the things we know, we'd make a difference in this world like never before. I just read a book by a guy named Francis Chan. It's called Crazy Love. And I just want you to listen to what he says. I've just been thinking about this and it's convicted me. He says, God doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to trust him so completely that we are unafraid to put ourselves in situations where we will be in trouble if he doesn't come through. Think about that. We need to trust God so completely that we are unafraid to put ourselves out there in situations that we're going to be in trouble if he doesn't come through. That's called radical obedience. And then he goes on to say, having faith often means doing what others see as crazy. And then this is something I've just been mulling in my mind, thinking about it. Something is wrong when our lives make sense to unbelievers. Here we are, transformed by Jesus Christ. We just took communion today. He died for us, body and a cup. By doing that, we proclaim that we have trusted in him alone as the only way we can have a relationship with him. We have said he came in and he changed us from the inside. But are we showing it on the outside? If our life makes sense, just that go along to get along to everybody else, then they're going to say, well, what's the difference? See, when you choose to obey God, you will not be swimming with all the rest of the fish. When you choose to obey God, you will not just be another face in the crowd. Just obeying in what we know, in the basics, would be radical stuff. Jesus said, whoever has my commandment and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will show myself to him. And then in 1 John, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. And then John says this, this is how we know we are in him. You want to know you're truly a believer? Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read the Gospels, Jesus walked radically. Be strong, be a man of conviction, show yourselves to be a man, lead, radical obedience. One more thing, leave something lasting behind. Your portfolio, it doesn't last. Your homes here and your vacation home, great inheritance, it just doesn't last. A couple cars in a garage, they'll enjoy them, they just won't last, they rust. Leave something lasting. Look at verse 4. And that the Lord may keep his promise, David says to me, do these things so God can keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live and if they walk faithfully before me with all their hearts and soul, they will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. David says, do this for my legacy. Walk in God's way so that you, Solomon, and then your children and their children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my great-great-great-grandchildren will be walking with you. Now, guys, let's be honest. When we think about our kids, we normally think about their batting average or their athletic feats or their grades or whatever. That's secondary stuff. And I'm glad they're great students and I'm glad they're great athletes. That's great. I'm glad they got into great colleges. Congratulations. I'm glad you're proud of them, that they're doing well in their careers as doctors and lawyers and CPAs and engineers and teachers and consultants and financial wizards and business leaders. Fantastic. Those are secondary issues. The question is, are they falling hard after Jesus Christ? You're their dad. And you have the opportunity to build into their lives when they're young, to mentor them when they're a little older, and to be a friend when they're older. But you're always their dad, and you have the opportunity to ask them the question, how are you doing? Are you in the Word? Are you involved in church? Are you growing spiritually? I don't care how much money you're making. I don't care if you get the promotion. Are you growing spiritually? That is what's going to last. That's what's going to make an impact on your grandchildren. Patrick Henry, prominent American statesman, revolution. Remember his words? He's a man of conviction. Give me liberty or what? Give me death. One of the founding fathers. Here's what he wrote in his will. He said, I have now disposed all my property to my family. There is one thing more I wish I could give them, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. If they had that and I had not given them one shilling, they would be rich. If I had not given them that and had given them all the world, they would be poor indeed. Fathers, what are you going to leave your kids? Our prayer and challenge is this, that you leave them knowing that you are a man of conviction. You never back down. That you leave them remembering a father who lovingly led the family. That they remember you being a man who is radical in obedience. And they remember you because you left something behind that lasted.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next time together. The Book of Psalms is the soundtrack to our lives. Its sometimes lofty, sometimes bitter lyrics echo the deepest cries of the human heart. But at the center of this hit parade lies a central truth. God is praiseworthy and faithful during the darkest and brightest of days. You'll discover this healing truth in Ron Moore's devotional book titled Journey Through the Psalms, Volume 1. Whether your life is filled with the minor chords of pain and aching questions, or the soaring refrains of joyful worship, you'll find their expression and encouragement in Journey Through the Psalms. This 300-page daily devotional is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org, or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now here's Ron with a look at our next broadcast.
The challenges of obedience are neither new nor unique. From Adam and Eve to man and woman today, we have struggled obeying when wrong seemed more attractive, standing firm when the path of least resistance was only one step away. What I want to do in this new series is to dip in to King David's life and pull out a 16-month experience for David when he lived in a little city called Ziklag. This is a time when David was worn out by obedience and he escaped to live with the enemy. And we're going to see some things beginning today that causes us to escape, some warning signs. We're going to see that when we go over and live with the enemy, that's a place we don't want to be. It's a life of duplicity, hypocrisy. It's a life of cover-up, and it is a land of consequences. Now, here's my prayer. For those of you worn out by obedience, getting ready to take that bad step to disobedience, this series, I pray, will be a warning. For those of you who have already made that step, I want to show you the danger that you're living in, the things that are happening in Ziklag in your life that are going to be consequential. And best of all, I want to show you how to get out of Ziklag. The grace of God and how He uses some challenging things to get us back on the path that He needs us to be on.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please visit our website to order your copy of Journey Through the Psalms, Volume 1. Its insightful exploration of the Psalms will challenge, comfort, encourage, and inspire. Journey Through the Psalms, Volume 1 is available for a gift of any amount. It's at ronmoore.org, or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Have you missed any of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind, the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.